Thank you, Pastor Robert. Praise the Lord. How are you, everybody? Good. Praise God. How about standing up one more time? Extend your hands over there to Pastor Robert, Ms. Laura. Let's pray for him. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the anointing on Pastor Robert and Laura, God. Thank you for the gift of God they are to Utopia and all the surrounding areas and the whole world. Thank you, God, that you created in them a covenant heart, that they are loyal and faithful, God, to you first, to your church, and to all those, God, that you have given them to minister to. We ask that you increase every area of anointing in their lives, God, that they are praying about, that you give them the desires of their heart, that they live a very long life, that they have supernatural health, that their bodies will respond to prayers of faith, that they will live in the health of God, and they will declare that their lives have been a miracle because of what the Lord has done. Give them testimonies of miracles, God, like they've never had before. Increase the miracles at Living Waters Church. Increase them, God, not to just a dozen or 50 or 60, but increase it to hundreds. Let people get saved every week and baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit every week. Let hungry people come out of the mountains and the woods and all the surrounding cities. Would you spread a radical, desperate hunger over this entire mountain ranges, God? That it'd be like a cloud that settles on the houses and people become unhappy and dissatisfied with their godless lives. And that they just want to find God. They want to just seek Him and be like Him and love Him and serve Him. And they want to live with purpose. Take the eyes off of all the natural, materialistic, deceiving, thieving things that steal you from them, God. Would you just ravish everything with your love and your power and your presence? Would you wake up everybody that's sleeping? Just everybody, God, that is in church with their eyes wide open and their spirit and soul is somewhere else. Would you just rescue all the perishing children that are headed for divorces, God, even before they get married, because they have had divorce built into them, even in their own families? Would you deliver people from drugs and alcohol and violence and hatred and murder and thievery and dishonesty and pride and ego and vanity and all the life of Satan, God? Would you break the power of separations and divorces over all the marriages? God, for every person that ever walks through the door, save their marriage. For every person that ever sits in one of these chairs, deliver them from debt. God, and most of all, would you open everybody's eyes to fall in love with you again, God, to remember that it's not just about going to heaven, but it's about heaven on earth. Would you stir the fire inside the people again, God? To not live underneath pride, but to just go after lost people. Get every member of their family saved. God, everybody that's not saved, get them all saved. Save everybody, God. Would you save everybody, Jesus? Would you just baptize them all in the love of God? Would you just give dreams and visions to the elderly? That, God, they'll just start writing them down and bringing them to church, and they'll be the most beautiful things people have ever heard. Would you take the young children and fill them with the gifts of prophecy and songwriting and music? Would you raise up youth bands and all types of country singing and all kinds of singing of every kind, God, things that nobody even heard of or even knows about? Would you just expand and enlarge the capacity of the people to love people that are different than they are? Would you make everybody feel welcome at this church because a spirit of love is in the atmosphere? God, you've already given him a big heart. I ask you now to give him a discerning heart and a wise heart, something that they just never have tasted before, God. You said to taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him. Father, we just trust in you. I trust in you for all these orphans, God, that you're sending me every day. Father God. Would you heal these little children, Lord? Would you just heal them? Heal their little broken bodies and hearts and souls. Fill them up, God. Deliver them from the demons of hell that they've lived with. And the memories, God, just the nightmares and all the things that happened to them, would you just take it out of their bodies? We just agree, God, here, everybody together, these children will be delivered and healed and restored, God. It'll be a miracle. Put a smile on their face. Put happiness and joy and hope into them, God, about their future. Would you feed God, and give us 1 million orphans. Father, we know that unless it's laughable, it's not possible. And unless it's impossible, God, you're not even in it. So we just know that you're going to do something amazing, God. Praise God. Bless this church. And bless everybody's trucks. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Go ahead and shake somebody's hand and say amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the truck. Bless the truck. Praise God. Amen. And the hats. Bless the hats. God bless. Praise the Lord. You know, I forgot to do this. They're going to have the DVD ready in a second, but I did forget to do this, so I want to do it now. I forgot this on Sunday morning and night, but I do want to recommend that everybody that can buy this series called Love Fixes Things. It's probably the most important series I've ever done. I'm in the process of writing the book. The book is called How to Love Ugly and Difficult People. But this is actually the series of that called Love Fixes Things. And, you know, really, love is everything. It's really everything. And this really will show you everything that I've learned in 40 years of going through hating people, how to love people. Because, you know, anybody can love people that love them, but to love somebody who hates you is a whole different kind of thing, or even somebody that's hurt somebody you care about. It's really powerful and bring a lot of healing to your family. It's only $25, and we've got about, looks like, 7 or 8 left. And then if you haven't read Woman Defined, you should get that book. Also order our new book that's at the printers now called Letters from God. And what that is if God wrote you a letter every day for a year, what would he say? That book is finished. It's prophetic. It's very powerful. But you can put your order in for that. You'll want to have it and buy it as gifts. But this is Woman Defined, Healing Insecurities, and that is also will be a big blessing to you. Then this is USB, so you put it in your computer and download the sermons onto your computer, and there's about $170 worth of messages on there. I think there's 50 to 60 to 70 messages, series on there, and messages in this for $40. So you'll probably want to get that if you have a computer. That's the best and cheapest and best deal that you're going to get. Praise the Lord. All right. Fantastic. Awesome. Praise God. How about going to Luke chapter 12? We also just want to mention that if you want to go to Africa with us, that's September the 9th. I think already quite a few of you have said you wanted to go. I hope you'll follow through with that. Pastor Robert will have all the details on that, and it's pretty exciting. So we have medical teams going, and building the kindergarten school for about 150 kids, and then doing feeding of all the kids we're taking care of right now, which is around 1,500. We're trying to add another 800 to that. So that's my aim for this year. We'll see how it goes. Praise the Lord. For 50 cents, you know, we can buy them feed them a really great, great meal. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. If you haven't been here on Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're talking about how to become God wealthy. And we've been talking about the true wealth of life, of course, is not money. So we're talking about how to become rich with God. And we're going to read these verses here. And he spake a parable to them and said that the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought inside of himself, what am I going to do because I have no room to put everything? He said, I'm going to pull down the barns and build bigger barns, and there's where I'm going to put everything that I have. And I will say to my soul, you have everything you've needed in a safe place for years to come. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And then whose shall all of these things be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read to you some other verses, Proverbs 13:7. There is that which maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that which makes himself poor, yet has great riches. And then Proverbs 11:24. There is that which scattereth and yet increases. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth only to poverty. And then Revelation 3:17. Because you say I am rich and increase with goods, and have no need of anything, and knoweth not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 15:4. Save when there shall be no poor among you. Everybody say that. There shall be no poor among us. Look at three folks and say, nobody broke among us. Say to the person behind you, nobody got broke among us. Praise God. And so, we've been talking about what the true riches really are. And, you know, man is a confused and a deceived creature. Man puts his entire efforts into chasing and pursuing the wrong thing. And a lot of us have done this ourselves, and some of us are doing it now. And that is that you can actually chase the wrong happiness. You can believe that something is going to make you happy. And if you are able to even catch it after you have it, you realize that it doesn't solve your problems. Praise God. We need God in our lives. We need to be rich with God. We need to be rich with Jesus. Praise the Lord. We need to have the wealth of love and the wealth of joy and the wealth of peace. And the wealth of wisdom and the wealth of meaning and purpose. Just waking up in the morning with purpose is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. It's to say, my life is not being lived for worthless things. It is being lived for the purposes I was created for. What a powerful position to find yourself living in the divine destiny that God has created for you. Think about that. knowing that when you die and face God, you will be able to say, to the best of my knowledge and to the best of my ability, I lived my life according to what you planned for me to do. Rather than, Lord, I'm not sure I did what you wanted me to do. I'm not sure I lived the way you wanted me to live, but I'm just glad I made it here. I don't want to have that testimony. I mean, I'm glad everybody makes it to heaven who makes it there. But I would rather live my life knowing that I lived what God wanted me to live. How many of you want that same thing for your life? Praise the Lord. And all the money in the world doesn't stop the fact that you feel terrible sometimes and want to die or kill somebody. It doesn't change that. But when you don't have that anymore, when you don't even have the thought anymore, you realize you found something that is very sacred. It's very divine to no longer have the emotions of the devil. It's a sacred thing to no longer have issues with a lack of peace. It's really awesome to just say, I've got peace and nothing seems to be able to take it away from me. I mean, I've got joy and I can't seem to lose it. Praise God. I mean, I have love and no one's personality seems to be able to steal it from me. That's a wealthy place. That's being rich in God. Or to just have answers, ladies and gentlemen, to just have answers for your questions in your life. To have wisdom from God where God speaks to you and gives you an answer and it's the right answer and you end up with the right solution for the situation. What a wealthy thing. To just have the riches of the knowledge of Jesus himself, to actually know Jesus, to feel God in your life, to feel him in your room, to feel his arms wrapped around you, to hear his voice, to actually say, God told me this, God spoke this to me, God gave me the answer, this is the answer, this is the solution, this is what God wants me to do, this is what God wants me to say, here is how God wants me to behave, this is the way God wants me to live. My gosh, what a wealthy place to no longer feel like a failure, to no longer get depressed. Just that by itself can make you a millionaire in the spirit. Just no more depression. You're incapable of being defeated emotionally by yourself. Because God has given you solutions and answers because you're rich with God. To not hate a person who deserves to be hated. To not gossip about a person who deserves to be gossiped about. To not accuse a person who deserves to be slaughtered in every imaginable way. To not take revenge on people who deserve to be taken revenge on. To be different and not lust after things that you know are not yours. To not be covetous of other men's things and possessions. To not be miserable because you don't have what another person has. Because you don't own what another person owns. Because you're not married to who someone is married to. Or you don't have the marriage somebody else. To no longer be covetous and hungry to own something that doesn't even belong to you. To be at peace within your own self and have inner peace and inner harmony. And just be okay that you are saved and filled with wisdom and power and the joy of God and the destiny of God. And to not have to be rich. To not be driven by the desire for money or things or objects. But to just be at peace and content to live out the will of God. And get everything God wants you to have so you can bless somebody else with it. To really be that free. Like Robert is free when he gets money in his hands and immediately lets it go. That's a really cool thing. You should admire him. You really should. You should admire him. I mean, I know Robert better than you do. I know you. Some of you think I'm not telling you the truth, but I do. I know Robert better than most of you do. You know why? Because I have discernment. I actually can read Robert beyond what Robert shows me. And I'm telling you that that is a good man. His wife is twice as good as he is. And they love Jesus as much as any human beings I know on planet Earth. And I'm not buttering bread. I'm not flattering. I'm just telling you the truth. Robert and Laura, you can trust them to do the right thing. That's wealth. Praise the Lord. They're going to preach things that will offend you. You know you should be thankful for that. Instead of getting mad and leaving the church, you should be thankful for that. Instead of cussing them out on the way out, he told everything about us, the whole service. As if he would do something like that. How about the Holy Spirit told on you? How about the Holy Ghost made you feel what you felt because he wants to deliver you? Don't you know that conviction is God asking you to let him set you free? Conviction is not condemnation. Condemnation is you're terrible, I'm going to kill you, die. Conviction is this is wrong, I can set you free. Now, that's love, that's wealth. Praise God. Look at two people and say, I believe your hair will not fall out after today. Go ahead and tell them that. Say, if it's too late, I apologize. So let me give you then tonight the keys to becoming God wealthy. Because I have given you what it was, you know, in general terms and in some specific terms, but I want to give you the keys to becoming God wealthy, because if you don't know the keys, if you don't know the how-tos, then things don't really matter. You just heard information, and maybe you got stirred. But really, the keys are what we need. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give you the keys as I know them, and all I can do is give you what I know. And so Revelation, or Matthew 3, verses 8 through 10, and you can read these on your own, but it says, bring forth fruit that lines up with your repentance. If you're going to become God wealthy, the first thing you have to do is never get tired of repenting. Praise the Lord. Never get tired of being humble enough to say you're sorry and that you were wrong. You cannot go past this point. If you're proud and incapable of admitting that you're wrong about something, and incapable of apologizing to people, you will never be rich in God or rich with God, because you're too proud to be rich with God. Pride is Satan's mouth ready to devour you. Pride is how Satan walks inside your soul. Pride keeps God away. Praise the Lord. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. So you have to really become good at saying, wait a second, maybe I did something wrong. Let me check my heart. Let me check my mind. Wait a second. Not denying, not resisting, not justifying, but saying, no, I don't want ever to do anything that God can't bless. If you're going to become wealthy in God, you have to be humble enough to admit the truth and not try to hide it. A great man is a humble man. You can offend proud people, but you can't offend humble people. You can't offend humble men. But proud people, they get offended at everything quickly. And they feel justified for doing it. And sometimes a proud man won't care if God likes it or not. Because when you're proud enough, you will defy God to his face to get your revenge. And tell God to go to hell. Because that's what that is. You're telling God, get out of here. I don't need you. That's what pride does. Praise the Lord. So if we're going to be God wealthy, we have to stay humble. I get corrected every week by my family all the time. My wife corrects me many hundreds and thousands of times. Praise the Lord. Whatever good thing there is in me, it is the fruit of my wife and children not having mercy on me. Praise the Lord. But I learned that if I'll obey my wife, as much as that sounds like a heresy, If I will obey my wife, it makes me like Jesus. Because I find that my wife is the best prophet I have. She knows where I live. She knows my name. She knows my bank account number. And she knows all my faults. And if she says something is wrong, it's God talking to me. So now what I do is I say, okay, well, I just need to go pray about it because I don't see it at all. I'm blind. Let me go pray. And then I ask my other children, do you see this? And they always normally say yes. On a few occasions, they said, no, you're nothing like that at all. That mom's nuts. She lost her mind. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's tell her. You know, because I'm not going to submit to something that's not true, but I do want to submit to the truth. Praise the Lord. But you can't be wealthy in God if you're defending your flesh. Don't you see that it is spiritual suicide to protect your flesh? Why protect something in yourself that's not good for you? And why hate people who point it out? Praise the Lord. And don't try so hard to be perfect, because it'll just take longer for you to get perfect, because you're covering it up. Be yourself and let all the glory flow out. And somebody will tell you, no, that's just like the devil, the way you're acting. And then you can say, okay, well, I need to go pray and repent and talk to God because I like this part of the devil. That's the best way to get delivered, is to be honest when you are in love with bad things. And just say, I love this bad thing. I need help. Praise the Lord. Now, if some of you aren't like that, then I can't relate to you. You're super Christians. But if you like bad things, some bad things, if you like them, then you know what I'm talking about. I like food, but I also realize food is bad for me if I eat too much of it, or bad food. But I like bad food. I love bad food. I worship bad food. Do you see? Praise the Lord. And I used to cover this up by exercise. But when I quit exercising, I couldn't cover it up anymore. It just blowed it out. But you'll find out, you young people, you will find out, you that are gluttons now, but it doesn't show because your metabolism is high, wait till it lowers and it starts popping out of every... You look at pie and 5 pounds shoot on your cheek. So that's the first thing. Repentance reverses God's judgment in your life. Praise the Lord. And so God saves your future by healing your past. And the way He heals anything is by repenting for it. So when you repent, restore what you have stolen or broken or hurt. Let the repentance fit the crime. Don't just say, I'm sorry, when you did something terrible. If you wreck somebody's car, don't just say, oh, I wrecked your car. I'm sorry. You have to forgive me. No, buy them a new car. Then say you're sorry, and then they'll understand what you're saying. I have gotten to the point where if somebody doesn't repent well enough, I don't let them free. I just say, no, your repentance is not okay. It's not good enough. I forgive you, but I'm not going to release you. I will release you when you repent to the degree that you damaged me. So if somebody gossips about me, to 7 people, I say, how many people did you tell this to? They say, I don't know. Well, I need you to know. How many? Well, 7 people. I need you to go to the 7 people and tell them you lied. And then I need to know who they told, and you need to go to those people too. When you're done finding everybody, then you come back and ask for forgiveness. I have forgiven you, but then I'll release you. Maybe this is a new kind of Christianity and you're not sure you like it right now. You're saying, I'm not sure I like that. I'd rather just say I'm sorry. Some things you can do that for, but not other things. Praise the Lord. Let the repentance fit the crime. Amen? All right, well, hug 2 people and say, man, you're grand. I mean, your hair is awesome. Praise God. Luke 24, verse 32, I'm going to go a little bit fast now, but Luke 24, verse 32, they were on the road to Emmaus. How many of you know that story, the road to Emmaus story? Anyway, the whole story is like this. Jesus approached them, started talking to them, and when he began to speak to them, don't turn me down. When he began to speak to them and commune with them, it said that their heart burned on the inside of them. Their heart burned on the inside. So the second secret of becoming God wealthy is to commune and burn. In other words, if you don't have fellowship and communion with God, the way you know you're not in communion with God is you have no passion for the things of God. The way you know you're in fellowship with God, not saved, but in fellowship with God, is that you have a burning heart for the same things that God's heart burns for. If your heart doesn't burn for the things of God that He burns for, you're not in fellowship with God even though you're saved. Because it's possible to be married to a person but not know the person. So if you're going to be wealthy in God, you need to learn how to commune with God, actually have fellowship with God. And what happens from that is your heart begins to burn with a fire for God, and you become very passionate about the things of God because God is rubbing off on you when you're spending time with Him. Have you ever noticed that you can be affected by the people you spend time with? Huh? How many have ever just gone to an innocent lunch, and after you're done, you're on fire, flaming in good or bad ways because of how they affected you? Fellowship. Praise the Lord. So it's the same way with God. If you're in fellowship with God, you will burn for what God burns for. If you're not in fellowship with God, then you need to be honest enough to say, I don't burn for anything. I'm not burning for anything. Then you're not in fellowship with God, even though you're saved. And you've been born again. But you're not having a relationship with God. And you can't get wealthy in God unless you go to the source, which God is the source. He is the well. And you can't get anything unless you get it from the source. Give somebody a high five and say, praise God, I better get something. Remember that every desire is a prison waiting to happen. Or every desire is a revolution waiting to happen. Your desires lead you into the things of God, or they lead you away from the things of God. And so you've got to just decide which one you're going to choose. Praise God. But a passionless life is a meaningless life. And if you don't have passion, you don't have any meaning to your life. You're just going through the motions, eating, drinking, and sleeping and going to work. Praise God. So we need the church to burn with passion. Praise the Lord. Am I by myself? Is anybody here? Can I hear any kind of talk at all? Praise the Lord. Some kind of noise of some sort. Okay, and then 1 John 4, you can read the chapter, but love and become. And this is really important, love and become. You know, loving is the number one way to change. It is impossible to love without killing yourself regularly. If you're going to love someone, you're going to kill some part of your flesh in order to love them. That's why marriage is nothing but continual death. In order to walk in continual resurrection. Think about how much selfishness you have inside you and how the person you're married to brings it all out. Praise the Lord. Unless you're married to a saint. But not everybody is. Praise God. And if you have two selfish people, then you just got a mess on your hands. Praise the Lord. So if you're going to become wealthy in God, the way you become wealthy is by loving people, because God is love. And so anytime you love a person, you're walking in God, and that's walking in the absolute wealth of God. So you must become an expert lover of people. Praise God. Look at somebody and say, amen. In other words, love is ugly soap. Say that to somebody. You need some ugly soap. Praise God. Love is ugly soap, because when you love a person, you wipe the ugliness off them and you wash the ugliness off yourself. And that is the beauty of loving people that are ugly. We have the power to take the ugliness off of them. Praise the Lord. So ask yourself, how many ugly people have you made beautiful? Because that's really your assignment here on planet Earth. That's the question you should ask yourself. How many ugly people have you made beautiful? That's how you know you're walking with God, is you're making ugly folks beautiful. You're loving them in such a way that they're actually changing because of how you treat them. You know somebody that knows God because of how they treat you. They treat you in such a way that you feel, wow, I was just with a really beautiful person right now. You know, the first time, and I'm not dropping names when I say this, I'm just saying this because of the impact it had on me, but the first time I met Dodie Osteen, the very first time I met her, she had heard about me and all that because I preached to some of her children and do those kind of things, but we'd never met. But the first time I met Dodie Osteen, I can tell you that I walked into the presence of love at that moment. I'm serious, man. She looked at me like I was her son. She wrapped her arms around me and just held me and just talked to me and treated me like I was a king. And I've met a lot of famous people who treat you like you are something they step on and have to clean off their shoe. But that woman made me feel like I was the most valuable person on planet Earth at that moment. And I knew she knows Jesus and walks with him. Praise the Lord. That's what people ought to be able to say about you. They ought to be able to say, that person walks with Jesus because of how we treat each other. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, my God. Say, I'm going to become wealthy in God. Then in Jeremiah 15:16, this is what I call feed and grow. You are not going to become wealthy with God if you are not feeding God to yourself. God lives in His Word. If you don't feed on the Word by memorizing it, by meditating on it, and by giving it away, then you're not going to become wealthy in God. Feeding on the Word does not mean to read a chapter a day. That's not feeding on the Word. That's reading the Word and familiarizing yourself with the things of the Word. To feed on the Word is to ask God to speak to you through the Word and change something about you. If whatever you feed grows and whatever you starve dies, you will become poor. If you do not have the Word of God abiding on the inside of you, you'll become very poor. You will do bad things because you have no treasury of heaven's Word on the inside of you. David said it the best. He said, your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Jeremiah 15:16, your word has become to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Your word is a hammer. Your word is a light. Your word is a fire. Your word is rain. Your word is a mirror. Your word is milk. Your word is bread. Your word is meat. Your word is life. Your word is everlasting. Praise God. The word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Memorize the Bible that speaks to you. Memorize a translation that speaks to you. And memorize scriptures about your problems so that the Word inside you can heal your problem. And then you can go and heal someone with the same problem. The Word makes you a minister. You don't ever have to speak from a pulpit. If you memorize the Bible, it goes into your mind. If you meditate on the Bible, it goes into your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit has something to bring up at the right time. Praise God. If you look up the word meditation, it's the word in the Greek and also in the Hebrew is to chew the cud. It's what a cow does with the grass it eats or whatever it eats. It regurgitates it, puts it in one of the four stomachs, regurgitates it back, and then does it again over and over. Or meditation is positive worry. How many of you know how to worry? So to meditate is to worry, but with positive thoughts. You don't think about what bad things are going to happen. You think about what good things are going to happen based on what the Scripture is telling you. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You start thinking about that. Say, man, I'm going to be at perfect peace when that happens and that happens and that. If I keep my mind on Jesus, I'm going to keep my mind on Jesus. Praise God. Ooh, just had a wreck there. Praise God. Jesus, I'm keeping my mind on it. The car's wrecked. I'm not going to think about all the consequences. I'm going to keep perfect. Praise. Spiritual food is spiritual power. And as you've heard it said many times, you are what you eat. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand and say, can I have your diamond ring? Praise the Lord. Then in 2 Timothy 2:15, learn and occupy. We are on a journey to become wealthy in God. Let me see your hands. How many of you say, I don't want to be poor? Say, how many of you say, I don't want to have spiritual poverty? Say, I don't want to live in a ghetto. You don't ever want to take drugs to make it through the day, do you? How many of you already took drugs? Let me see your hands. Praise the Lord. Let me see your hands. Lift them high. Everybody's taking drugs. Why did you take drugs? Because you were lonely, or because they felt good, or because you were crazy. Whichever the case may be, right? Or you were depressed, or you were this, or you were that, but you had a need, and so you tried to fill it with a drug. And as you know, there are many side effects to any drug you take. It may take away your depression, but it will kill your liver. And vice versa. Look up any drug. They have like 150 side effects. Now on TV, they're even having to say what the side effects are. There was one I saw the other day on TV for, I don't know, for depression, I think it was. And one of the side effects are suicidal tendencies or suicide. This is a drug you take to not be depressed, but it's going to make you kill yourself, possibly. You just need to know that ahead of time. How can they even sell that? Learn and occupy. You can't occupy if you don't have knowledge on anything. Knowledge is power. Any area where you're going to be like Jesus or like God, Christ-like, or have the wealth of heaven, you're going to have knowledge on how to get those things. So learn. If you don't know how to have a good marriage, learn how. If you don't know how to be a good wife or a good husband, learn how. If you don't know how to be a good parent, learn how. If you don't know how to overcome your particular kind of candy that you like, sin, then learn. It's all in the scripture. Learn, and then you occupy that thing, and then you're able to give that to somebody else. Praise God. There's a solution and an answer for every problem man has. It's in God. He is the answer, but we have to learn it in order to occupy it. Slap somebody and say, wake up. Praise the Lord. So knowledge is the key to your inheritance, and if you're going to get an inheritance from God, it's going to take knowledge. Then in Jeremiah 17:8, your roots determine your fruits. Look at three people and say, show me your roots. How many of you know that when you go to heaven, God is going to ask you to show him your stretch marks? Have you noticed that when a woman has a baby, after she has a baby, she uses the power of her stretch marks to control some of her children by simply saying, look what you did to me. And I heard this is how Shaq O'Neal, the basketball player's mother, controls him. She just, you did that, you ripped me. So, praise the Lord. That was terrible. Anyway, roots, Jeremiah 17:8. Your roots determine your fruits. If we're going to be rich in God, we've got to have our roots in the right water. We've got to be drinking the right source of life. Roots determine everything. For example, if you have a rejection root in your life, any conversation you have with anybody will end up being a bad experience for you because you interpret everything through your roots. If you have a rejection root, after you're done with a conversation with somebody, you're going to say, oh, they hate me. They just hate me. Did you see their eyebrow, the way it went up and the way they were standing? They were bored with me. They hate me already. Because you have a rejection root and you interpret everything through your roots. If you have an envy root or a jealousy root, that's how every conversation goes. Your roots determine the fruit that you bear in your life. If you have a lust root, doesn't matter what woman you talk to, you lust after that woman. Or if you're a woman, you lust after that man, because those are your roots. And your roots determine your fruits. Praise the Lord. And we know a tree by the fruit it bears. So you have to put your roots in the right place. You have to have root surgery. Turn to two people and say, let's have root surgery. It's really like becoming a Holy Ghost samurai. You pull out your sword and you just start chopping roots out of your life. You just start chopping them to pieces. Jealousy roots, envy roots, insecurity roots. I mean, you just start chopping them out of your life. Roots are flying everywhere. And in their place, God's roots grow. The root of what? Prayer, the root of love, the root of convictions, the root of faith. These are our roots. There's at least 9 roots of the Spirit, just like there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, this is all just preaching for some of you, and you're not really going to benefit from it because you're not going to actually get the tape and learn the information. You're going to hear it one time. And let me just tell you, folks, how much I love you by telling you this, that you are really not smart. By just hearing a sermon and then going off and not doing anything about it, it is how you become sterile. Unobeyed truth creates sterility in your life. One of the worst things you can do is go to church and not do what the preacher tells you. It will kill your ability to hear God's voice. Because when you train yourself to go to church and sit there and hear without changing, you are destroying your own future. Because God is feeding you answers to your problems, but you're refusing to put them into action. And you're going to become sterile. And then every sermon you hear will be completely boring and not affect you because you have no desire and to obey what you're hearing. This is really dangerous. Praise the Lord. So when you come to church, remember, if you listen, you're stirred, but if you hear, you're changed. Praise God. Look at 5 people and say, amen. How many of you took you a long time to learn a particular lesson, even though your parents have told it to you since you were a child, and now you're like 50 years old, and you finally learned it? Because you listened, but you never heard. Something happened that made you hear. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right. So, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18, this is really important. How many of you know that when David's wives got stolen in the whole army, everybody wanted to stone him? Do you remember that story? Everybody wanted to stone him and kill him. And he inquired of the Lord, and he said, Lord, shall I pursue, and will I overtake them, and will I recover everything? See, if you're going to get rich in God, and I'm just asking you, as I told you before, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it is really important that you not get casual when you're listening to the Bible. It is death to you if you get casual. You have got to be, I'm telling you, you've got to be radical about it. You can't get in TV mode. You know, because for a lot of you, you've trained your body to go to sleep when you watch TV. So when you come to church sometimes, your body starts going into that. And it's really sad. And I don't mean to offend anybody when I say this. I say this from love in my heart. You are destroying yourself by not having an attitude of expectancy. Because God can speak through a donkey. And maybe today I am God's chosen donkey. But you need to position yourself by expectation and desperation and say, God, in order for me to honor you, I'm going to have to change something today at this service, because change is the best way to say, I love you. Praise the Lord. So don't get too quiet, ladies and gentlemen. I need some yelling. I need some kind of noise. I need somebody freaking out. I need something going on. I mean, don't cuss me out or nothing, but I need somebody praising God and getting excited about listening to the Bible, even though maybe you weren't raised like that. And say, well, you know, we weren't raised like that. Well, are we now going to allow our experiences to become our Bible? Or are we going to let our Bible change our experiences. Praise the Lord. And I know that there are some people who have the capacity to have great personal encounters with God without ever saying anything. I know that. But not very many of you. Not very many of you. There's just a few of you that really have the gift of sitting still and listening. The rest of you, you're somewhere else. And we need to get you back. Praise the Lord. Honor God by letting Him adjust something today. Monkey wrench is out. Let Him turn something. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, if you'll pay me the money you owe me, I'll do anything that preacher says today. Praise the Lord. So what is the key? This is the key, and this is important. You only pursue the things you cherish. You came to church because there's some level of love in you for God, or you were brought here because you have a need, or you came because somebody stuck a gun at your head and said, you have to come. So, you know, whatever the reason is, you're here, but God's still here and wants to talk to you. Praise the Lord. And I can scream and yell, and you've seen me do it. I can go crazy. Honestly, I don't know how I'm going to act from one service to the next. I mean, last week I preached really, really just normal, for the couple, first, second. But the third service, I lost my mind. I just lost my mind. I was running on pews and just lost my mind. I don't know. God has to tell me what crowd I'm looking at. And the crowd tells me what I have to preach and how I have to preach. The people tell me by the capacity. I don't want to offend people by running on pews. And I don't want to offend people by not running on pews. Different church, different crowd. My job is to make sure I don't get in the way of you receiving. Praise the Lord. So give somebody a high five and say, I know you got a lot of money in there. Praise the Lord. Pay me. So we only pursue the things we cherish. So the principle is cherish and pursue. You're going to chase what you love. You're going to chase what you cherish. You're going to pursue what you cherish. And that's how David got his wives back. And that's how you're going to get the wealth of God. Is it's going to have to become important enough for you to make some sacrifices and some decisions to change some things in your life and start chasing that. If you want a happy marriage, you're going to have to make some radical choices to change some bad stuff in your relationship. Praise the Lord. And there's no condemnation for your failures or weaknesses. Nobody's condemning you about anything. But you're not going to pursue something you don't cherish. That's all there is to it. If it's not important to you, then you'll neglect it. And neglect is abandonment, and abandonment leads to divorce. Of all kinds of divorce, not just marriage. Praise the Lord. My last point then. Look at nine people. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 17, 9 through 16. This is my last point for this, but this is give and achieve. You know, you have to give like the place you want to occupy. Look at two people right now and say you need to give like the place you want to occupy. If you're going to get wealthy in God, with the riches of God, you have to become like God. And the only thing that makes you like God is to give. I'm not just talking about just giving money. I'm talking about giving of yourself. We're ruled by selfishness. This world is a selfish, selfish world. And we have to kill our selfishness by giving in a way that hurts. David said, I'm not going to give something that doesn't cost me something. He was talking about finances, but I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving love to people you don't want to give it to. It hurts to do it. It hurts to forgive some people. There are some people you have to forgive, and you hate forgiving them because you don't want them to get off the hook. You want them to pay, and since no one else is going to make them pay, you are the one that's going to make them pay. Praise be to God. But that's not the way Jesus is. That's not the way Jesus is. I got a lot of peace when I stopped worrying about how to fix preachers. I just said, I'm not going to do it. So I just quit. I just quit trying. And I said, I'm just going to love everybody and do what God told me, and that's it. And if I run, and if something gets in front of me, I'll tell them whatever and go. If it's not in front of me, I'm going to leave it alone. It's not my business. I'm not their father. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to chase them down and tell the whole world about them unless I need to, because God told me to. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here's the thing. If you don't become a radical giver, you will not become a radical receiver. And in order to receive great things from God, you have to learn how to receive. Some of you can give, but you can't receive. And in order to receive, you have to learn how to give. Praise the Lord. Give like the place you want to occupy. Now let me talk to you about finances. Look at two people and say, man, there's some money coming to your house. Because I don't want to just leave money out of the message. I want to talk to you about money. Can I say this to you? You need money. Would you look at five people and say, he's telling the truth. I need money. Go ahead and tell that to somebody. Say, I need some money. Give somebody a high five and say, I need some money. Let's not be religious about money. Praise the Lord. Everybody needs money. And that's how we do what God wants us to do. Living Waters Church cannot function without money. Your house cannot function without money. Your car cannot function. Your body cannot function without money. Your children cannot exist without money. We need money for everything. Can we all be agreed on that point? How do we get money so God gives us money? Praise the Lord. We give in order to have, in order to give. We do not give to get. We give to have to give. That's how you get money. You say, God, I'm sowing this money, so you'll give me 10 times more in return so I can sow that. So you give me 100 times more so I can sow that. So I can get 1,000 times more so I can sow that. That's how you do it. You don't give to get, you give to have to give. And what's the difference? The motive is the difference. One motive is greed and selfishness, and God does not minister to your greed or selfishness. And the other motive is a motive of love and giving with a desire to want to bless someone, not just for you to get better houses and cars and things. Praise the Lord. You got a nice enough house. And if you're in a tent, then you don't. We need to help you. Praise the Lord. But I would rather live in a moderate way. And the way that I like to say it is that if you're really going to give like God, then you live reasonably and you give unreasonably. Praise the Lord. And until you have given something that hurts you to give it, then you haven't given unreasonably. Jesus made this real clear when he gave the disciples the parable of the widow, and he said, look at the woman. She's giving three pennies away. The Pharisees are giving thousands of dollars. They were impressed with the Pharisees, but he said, the Pharisees have millions. They don't miss what they're giving. She's giving everything she has. So what is the principle then of giving? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not how much you give. It's how much is left over. For some of you, giving $5,000 or $10,000, that's a true gift. For others of you, giving $5 is a true gift. It's not how much you give, it's how much is left over. Because you're required by God to give based upon how he has prospered you, not based on the quota of people. My ministry couldn't even function if people didn't operate in the things I'm talking about. I mean, really, I wouldn't even have a ministry. If God didn't tell somebody, give him $5,000, give him $10,000, I couldn't even function. I couldn't rescue all these kids you're looking at or do anything. Praise God. But God is training some of you to be the same way and to get to the same place. Amen? Give like the place you want to occupy. And it's not how much you give, it's how much is left over. And then my final point on this, and it's important, is that God's not going to just require you to give money. He's going to require you to give pieces of yourself. And you know you're walking with God when you're inconvenienced on a regular basis. Until you start doing the things you don't want to do, you're not living for God yet. But when you start doing things you don't want to do, because you know God wants you to do them, when you obey when you don't want to, it becomes a miracle. When you obey when you want to, it's just self-indulgence. But when you give and you don't want to give, then you're doing something that's going to bring honor to God through your life. Praise the Lord. Would you grab somebody and just shake them a little bit and say, snap out of it. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand and say, God is good. Praise the Lord. Bless His name. Amen. Put that music on. Now, everybody, I want you to close your eyes. And Laura, could you come to the piano for a little bit? But I do want to play that song first. And I want you to close your eyes for a little bit. And I just want you to let the Holy Ghost fall on you. Turn it up too. Just let the Holy Ghost fall on you right now. Praise the Lord. I want to start praying because I just felt that anointing earlier to do this. Praise God. Can I have one usher up here to help me? Hold this for me, Joe. Just put some of that oil on my hand there. Yeah. Thank you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Ma'am, right here. Ma'am, come here. Let me pray for you. Just stand right there. Stand behind her, Joseph. Just stand right there. And let me just lay hands on you. I just feel like praying for you right here. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to put the oil right on your forehead right there. Praise the Lord. And those of you that are out there, if you'll just extend your hands towards her. And let me say a couple of things, because some of you may not know this. For example, no experience is valid unless it can be proven from the Scripture. We're not supposed to do things that are not in the Bible. Praise the Lord. But if it's in the Bible and it can be proven with three confirmations at least, then you have a valid experience. Praise God. And you know, healing is all over the Bible. It's from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Deliverance is in the Bible all through the whole Bible. Restoration, breakthroughs, all in the Bible. Laying hands on people is everywhere, all over the Bible. I got a lot. So it's in the Bible. Like lifting your hands in church. Some of you don't even know why you do it. Let me just give you three quick reasons. You lift your hand. If I put a gun at your back, you're going to lift your hands up because you want me to know that you're surrendering and you're not going to resist me. And when you go to a game and your son wins the game, your hands go up because you have the victory. We lift our hands because we're surrendering, we're not resisting, and we have the victory. Praise the Lord. And finally, you lift your hands because all the good things God has done deserve your worship. And man worships things by lifting his hands. Praise the Lord. It's natural to everybody. Thank you, Lord. I'm laying hands on her for her back. And also just her nervous system completely. And just so you have some peace, man, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you're going to have peace from now on. And all the circumstances that need fixing are all being fixed. Praise the Lord. And I'm looking at Psalm 147, verse 14. You'll have peace north, south, east, and west. Everywhere around your life, you're going to have peace from now on. Praise the Lord. That lady right there, ma'am, stand up with your hand up. Yeah, come on up here. Praise the Lord. Just stand there for a little bit. Is it okay? Keep putting that up for a second. Praise the Lord. I like that song. Minister to me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, stand right here, ma'am. And, you know, put your hands up. I look at you over there and I see the spirit of intercession coming on you, of prayer. I see a lot for your family, that God wants to do a lot of things for your family. The people you're praying for, God is really going to answer those prayers. It's going to happen quick. Isaiah 65:24 says, you won't even see it coming. The answer is going to come so quick and so fast and so suddenly that it's just going to freak you out. And God says, I'm going to use your prayers like a mighty ship at sea is used to break ice on the water. Your prayers are going to be like icebreakers that break the ice around people who are imprisoned in ice and coldness and separated from the life and warmth of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Remember that it's really important that you have faith when you're getting ministered to. And here's the way that I like to say it. When faith touches faith, a miracle is born. If I have faith and you don't have faith, it may happen for the moment, but by the time you walk out the door, it'll be gone. Because you keep what God gives you when you have faith in what God gives you. You lose what God gives you when you don't have faith in what God gives you and you doubt it. Doubt is the thief that steals your miracles. Praise the Lord. So, these two gals right now are with me in the Spirit. I'm just saying, both of them are getting it. They got the Holy Ghost on them. They got the joy of the Lord. She's got faith all over her. She's got faith all over her. They're both going to walk on water. Your worlds are going to be totally different. Praise God. Be really different. Praise God. Going to be amazing. Come up here, would you? Right over here. Yeah. 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 Come up. Come here. I want to minister to you. Praise the Lord. I'm just doing what God's telling me. I don't know anybody. I'm just ministering, you know, how the Holy Ghost is telling me to do it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just stand right here. And what's your name? Debbie. Yeah, look, Debbie. This is the picture I see. You've been on a boat. The boat was tied to a harbor, a shore, and then was cut, and now it's just floating. And the Lord tells me that you're not going to float around anymore in your life. That your boat, God's reaching out and grabbing that boat that's been out there, out at sea, just floating out there at sea and not even knowing where am I going to end up? Where am I going? The wind's blowing you and directions you. You got, I don't know. I mean, I'm just seeing like, I mean, I don't know anything about you. I just know what the Holy Ghost is telling me that you are going to stop being tossed around by your life and by the choices of other people. And that you have a need right now to be healed. You have been hurt. You have been wounded. You have been broken. I'm seeing all of this. I see blood in your soul, blood in your heart. I see broken glass, broken things all over your life. And would you help me minister to her? Would you extend your hands to her right now? And I'm just telling you what I'm hearing from the Holy Ghost that Joel 2:25, he restores what the devil steals. He heals what the devil breaks. He renews dreams that have been taken away and stolen. He takes hurt and pain and brokenness out of people's lives. And he pours in, Luke 10:32 says, he poured in the oil and the wine, and he restores my soul. And that's where she's at. She's at a place right now. I'm going to tell you, I don't really know anything, but I'm just telling you, she needs a lot of love for a while, and she needs you all to be encouraging to her and love her. and help her through whatever's going on in her life. But I'm going to tell you right now that God is going to turn her life around and going to put wings on her again, because her wings literally have been ripped off, just torn right out of her body. But God is going to put the wings back into her soul, the hope back, the joy back, the love back, the peace back, life back. And she can't see it right now. She can't feel it right now. It's going to take whatever. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost right now, man, the anointing is on me, ladies and gentlemen, really strong tonight. Man, you guys got to stick with me with your faith. Keep your faith out there tonight, because God is touching people tonight and blessing folks. Praise the Lord. Because she can't see past the broken stuff. But I'm just going to anoint her with oil, and I'm going to just declare in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Father, this is your daughter. This is your daughter, Father. This is the daughter that loves you. She loves you, God. Her heart is like a flower. She's been trampled on in her spirit, God. But I ask you to heal everybody involved in her life. Every person in her life, God, connected to her. She's lost her joy. She's lost everything, God. But would you please, Father, tonight, you said you would restore what the worms have eaten. The locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm. Because you do that for everybody. Don't let her go to a dark place, Father, because she feels abandoned. Don't let her go to a dark place. I remove you from the clutches of lying imaginations and lying thoughts and those things that would take you to dark places, that would swallow you up and ruin you and take life out. I rebuke the devil off you. I break the demonic assignments against you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take the spirit of death, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of futility, the spirit of shame, the spirit of guilt, the spirit of rejection off you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I lay hands on you that you are God's child. And a woman that belongs to Jesus. Just stand there. Stand there receiving. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How great God is. You know, you two right here, if you would stand for a second. And just don't go anywhere. Just keep standing there. But the Holy Ghost, I think I shook hands with you at some point, but I don't know your names, and I apologize, but I will learn them. But you know, when you came in today, and I walked up here, I felt like you two were like, what would be the word? There's many words. You are a breath of fresh air, and you are full of the love of God. And that you are healers. Just your smile is a healing. I got healed by looking at you. That you guys are such a beautiful gift to this church and to these people. And that you have so much to offer because you have paid a price to become sweet. You had so many chances in your life to be bitter, but you chose the sweet. To be hurt, but you chose the healing. To be little, but you chose to be big. To be petty, but you chose to have character. And that the Lord wants me to tell you that your prayers are not thrown in with a billion other prayers. That when you pray, your prayers alone reach the ears of God. You're not in there with like a million other prayers. God says, I give you my undivided attention when you pray. And that you are a gift. I just kept hearing that. You are a very beautiful gift to people. And you know the words that came, and your parents. You are spiritual parents to people. Because I said, man, I wish they were my parents. That's the greatest compliment I know how to give you. That I just see you as the most lovely people. Your gift is beauty. The gift of being beautiful for God in your spirit. And that the best is yet to come for you. You have turned a corner. This is what I'm hearing. You have turned a corner. And all the mysteries that you do not know about and have never even heard about are now all being revealed to you. And you're going to enter into parts of Jesus that you never even knew existed. You have been so loyal to Him and so faithful to Him for so many years. And God is going to reward you and He is going to bless you. Your scriptures are Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Launch out into the deep. Because out there in the deep are the mysteries. And that you too are going into a very deep place in God. And now I'm going to pray. Would you just put your hands on your husband? Just put your hands on him, on his chest, on his back. And everybody extend your hands. What is his name?
Bill.
Bill. Let's pray for Bill. I'm going to pray for you, Bill, for just your entire body, head to toe. That you have the gift of clarity, that your mind be very clear, that your body be miraculously healed, that your nerves be miraculously restored, and that every part of your body function the way God created it, and that it not get away from you, and that none of your muscles will malfunction, but that your muscles will become more and more obedient to the Holy Spirit and to your heart, that you get better and better and better and better. Praise the Lord. And that Jesus become the comforter of both of you, and that none of the fearful thoughts or imaginations that come around your mind sometimes will take place. But that Jesus says, I already live at the house, but I'm now going to manifest my presence in a brand new way for both of you. And I'm going to manifest my glory like you've never seen it before. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the word I'm hearing here is mobility. Mobility. Supernatural recovery of mobility. That's the word. Let's believe God in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Would everybody give God praise and glory and honor? And are you all an entire family, all of you? How are you related? Sure, like a whole family. So all of you stand up. What's your name, sweetie?
Tina.
What is it?
Tina.
Tina. I love that name, Tina. Praise God. That's a beautiful name. Tina, Jesus wants me to tell you that you're going to be very smart, and you're going to have a gift of music, and you're going to draw really well. But that you're going to be a person that loves orphans and children who don't have parents. And you will do this all your life till you're an old woman. Praise the Lord. So work on your Spanish really well, okay? Learn Spanish really, really well and be able to speak English and Spanish just as good. Because God is going to really bless you in a big way. What's your name? Yeah, Andrea. And how old are you? Yeah. Listen, Andrea, to this. You're like an explorer right now. And you're exploring things, life. But you're doing it very cautiously. But I'm going to tell you that God is about to put you on a journey that is going to captivate you and capture you. You were born to serve Jesus and to be His daughter and to be used by God. Nothing the devil has to offer you is worth anything. It's all a lie. All a lie. It is all a lie. Your future lies in your destiny with God. And so I'm going to bless you and ask Jesus to reveal His will for your life to you. Not that I tell you what it is, but that God tell you what it is. So that you can say, I know what God wants for me and I'm going to do it. I don't know you and we've never met. But I know that sometimes certain things make you really angry. And I'm going to tell you this, that that's going to disappear because of the amount of love you're going to feel. you're going to feel very loved in the next year. You're going to say, man, I am so loved. I'm unbelievably loved. And you won't care what people think. You're not going to care what anybody thinks after this year. You're just going to say, I know who I am, and I'm going to be who God made me to be. Praise the Lord. What a great gift. Let's bless this family. Let's pray for this family, everybody. Would you extend your hands? Let's pray for this family. And each one of you tell me your name. What's your name? Rosa? Amy? Esmeralda? Delfina? Joe? Okay, so everybody extend your hands right here to them. Praise the Lord. Let's bless this family, ladies and gentlemen. I'm believing God's going to bring a lot of Hispanics into this church. I'm believing God for 200 Hispanics to come to the church. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, there are about 700 people missing from Living Waters Church. And I believe God's going to bring them. Remember, if it's not laughable, it's not probable. It has to be impossible before God gets involved with it. And God wants the church to be the face of heaven. Praise the Lord. And He wants every church to look like the church in heaven. And let's believe God. Praise the Lord. Let's believe God for that. Lord, I bless this family that, Lord, they will have great success in their life, that they will be highly blessed, and that they will find, Lord, the source of their function in Your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Bless them from head to toe. Bless them financially. Bless their body. Bless their soul. Bless their spirit. Bless them, God. Make them beautifully happy in God. In the name of Jesus. And whatever they lack, I ask You to give it to them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And make this the best year they have ever had in their whole life. Everybody agreed to that and said amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand tonight, everybody. Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Look at seven people and say, man, I'm glad I came to church. How many of you are going to be God wealthy, everybody? How many of you are going to be God wealthy? Praise the Lord. Look at somebody saying, I'm going to be God wealthy. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, as you know, I consider Living Waters Church my true home church. And my wife does, and all our children. And it's just great to be, I love it here. Really, I love it. It's therapy for me to just be here. I love being loved, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why it's therapy. Praise the Lord. I love being loved by people. And you guys really love us a lot. And you show that, and all my family feels the same way. And I really appreciate it. You know, I know you all hate emotional things and all that. I'm being as macho as I can be. But, you know, I get overwhelmed a little bit because I see that you guys help me so much with these children. I mean, you really do. Robert, man, we're like connected. You know what I'm saying? My vision is his vision. My dreams are his dreams. What a rare thing to have. That, you know, friends are wealth. To have friends is wealthy. To have good friends is great wealth. I know how much Robert loves so many of you because he talks about you. Like Dwayne and his wife and all of you that are here, you're just always telling me how good you are and how faithful you are and how all of that. And I so appreciate you loving them. And I hope you will always do that. And take care of them really, really well. Take care of them. Praise the Lord. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Robert, and he's going to take a love offering. Give me a really good love offering. Would you? Praise the Lord. Give me a real big one. Praise God. Here you go, Brother Robert. Praise God. I got so many things, but whatever.
Praise God. Well, ushers, help me.